Okay, good morning. Oop, a little loud. Open your Bibles, book of Revelation, if you would, once again. Remember last week we got into the trumpet judgments. Three sets of judgments happen when the little book is opened in the book of Revelation. Seven seals, something happens every time a seal is opened. Seventh seal introduced us to seven trumpet judgments. Then at the end of seven trumpet judgments, the last trumpet judgment introduces us to seven vials that's poured out upon the earth. We got to the seventh trumpet last week. Remember some things, several things that we looked at that's going to happen on the earth in imagining when all that is turned loose upon the earth. Today as well, use your imagination the best we can with the description that we have and picture what it would be like upon the earth. Now remember this, at the time in which we're reading, it's in the Great Tribulation. It's in a time when men are going to be facing so many things and tragedies that's going on upon the earth. You're going to have the Antichrist is going to be reigning. He's going to be worshipped. He's going to be demanding a seal. Everyone have a mark upon them to be able to buy and sell. He's going to find favor with the kings of the earth. He's going to have the false prophet, the religious figure, supporting him. The devil himself is going to be cast out of heaven upon the earth, to the earth. And it's going to be something during that time. And we see God's means of trying to repossess the earth. And so last week we saw up to the sixth trumpet. Now look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 11. The Bible says, and the seventh angel in verse 15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. The nations were angry. Thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. The temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So here, when the seventh trumpet is open, we see a forecoming of Jesus. Now we'll see this, and we'll spend one day in Sunday school at least when we're talking about his return, given to us and described in Revelation chapter number 19. Don't want to get into that today. We're just kind of skimming over as these judgments are done. But it's foretelling the coming, his coming. Several things are going to happen. When he comes, there's going to be a judgment of the nations. And then there's going to be some go into a kingdom. And that kingdom, and then at the consummation of that kingdom upon the earth, there will be a new heaven, new earth. And the old heaven, old earth be done away with, and hell will be brought out of the old earth, out of the midst of the old earth. And everybody in hell will stand at the great white throne judgment. We'll look at that later on as well. And so all these things are described and predicted that's coming about. And finally, it's coming down to a head where Christ is fixing to come back and reign upon the earth and take the kingdoms back from the wicked leaders that has been overcoming. And so when they do that, the 24 elders, and I've often said 12 is the number of government in the Bible. And I believe these, when you look at those and study the 24 elders, they represent those who have been saved by the blood in the Old Testament and New Testament, 12 of each one. And they are a representation of all of us. What we will be doing, we'll be worshiping Him, we'll be praising Him, we'll be glorifying Him for what He's done. Now let's look at the vows. We won't skip over. We've looked at 12 and 13 and 14. We won't skip on over to chapter 16, where the next vows are poured out. We'll come back and pick some of these other chapters up later on. But I want to try to finish up looking at the vows this morning. In verse number 1, chapter 16, the Bible says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.' And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image." So the first thing's going to happen, the first vial, there's going to be everyone on the earth who's taken the mark of the beast is going to be smote with a cancerous sore. I mean, they're going to have some type of a vicious sore. I'm sure it's going to be very painful. It's going to be great agony upon those. And remember, these is chosen to take the mark of the beast. And by the way, anyone who's taken the mark of the beast, there'll be no hope for them. They'll be condemned, and they will perish in hell with the devil and his angels and with the Antichrist and the false prophet. In verse number 3, we find here the second vow that is open. And in the second vow, the Bible says, "And the first went," verse number 3, "and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." Now imagine this, that again we talked about earlier in the trumpet judgments, how a third of the sea was turned into blood. Now all the seas everywhere on the face of the earth is turned into blood. Now imagine what will happen when that happens. Imagine the diseases that will spread. Imagine the stink, the stench of dead fish everywhere. Imagine having no means of commercial or anything happening upon the sea during that time. It's just about beyond our imagination to understand what it will be like. Now, some people said, "Well, will it really be blood?" Well, if everything dies in there, can you imagine what it would look like and what it would be like? And they died, and their body fluids and so forth was released out into the ocean and to the seas. Can you imagine what it would be like? I mean, you couldn't even get within miles of that place. Any of you ever took and smelled a few dead fish somewhere? I mean, they can rank. Now imagine what you would do if the whole ocean was all of a sudden dead. Every animal in it that was in it was dead. And then as it began to bake and cook and all that thing in the heat, imagine what it would be like. I mean, can you put your mind to what it would be like to even get close to a sea, close to an ocean? Can you imagine what it would just be like to just, as things are happening upon this earth right now during that time, and all these things are coming at people. And you know, I can just picture the news media at this time. They'll be blaming Jews for everything going on. The Christians, as we know it, the church as we know it, will be gone. But they'll be blaming the Jews, and there'll be a vicious attack upon the Jews. And just like the propaganda that came out of Germany when Hitler was over it toward the Jews, there'll be that multiplied by the beast and his cohort. Imagine the news media will be feeding into it. You know, you used to, I thought it would be a far stretch to have all the news media all across supporting propaganda in America. But I know there are some conservative think tanks out there. But it's amazing the mainstream that comes into people's televisions. It's amazing how many of those are corrupted with propaganda of one side. They don't even pursue issues of the other one. And so I can just picture during that time all the multimedia just supporting the beast and his propaganda, his programs. They're probably supporting the importance of taking the mark and the tattoo upon their head, upon their forehead, whatever it may be. And they're probably building him up as the greatest thing since sliced bread, and it's always somebody else's fault. And I said last week they'll probably still be blaming Trump for it when all that's going on, knowing that bunch. But anyway, the point being is that imagine what it would be like in all the oceans. Now, notice if you would, the next thing in verse number 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers, upon the fountains of water, and they became blood. So here again, you have the fresh water that is turned in. We had a third of it already turned to blood earlier. Now, everywhere they turn, streams, fountains, wells, creeks, springs, everywhere drinking water is produced will be destroyed, will be blood. Now picture that if you would. Imagine what that would be like to have no drinking water and nothing that you can drink and along that way as far as water. And imagine having anything to bathe in. Now can you picture that? I mean, you got to picture also turning on your faucet and getting blood gush and stinky residue out of your faucets. You start to wash a dish, you can't wash a dish. You can't wash your clothes, you can't wash yourself. You can't go down to a pond, you can't go down to a creek, you can't go. Imagine what it would be like. All this time and not a bath. Imagine that stench. Just your neighbor, your family. I mean, we're used to taking a bath. Probably most of us take a shower or a bath at least once or twice a week. Hopefully a little more than that, some of us. Some of us may reserve it once a month. I don't know. But some of us do it every day. And some of us do it more than once a day. But the point being is, imagine not being able to do it at all. Can you picture in your mind what it would be like to live upon this earth? The seas, everything dead in it, stinky. All the water, drinking fountains, stinky, turned to blood. Everything in the creeks and everything like that, dead. Can you imagine what it would be like? Nothing drink, nothing bathe, can't wash your face. Can you imagine what it would be like during that time? I can't imagine. Now look on. In verse number 5. Let's read on first of all in this, and then we'll get back in verse 4, it's talking about where he poured it out, and notice what else he says about it in verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. So when God does this, when he turns this, he's going to be righteous in everything he does. And you know, this idea that this liberal group has got, that they only see one side of God, and that is God loves, and there God's going to love, and God's going to do this, and God's going to he's just going to let everything go, and God's just going to be whatever everybody wants him to be. They don't understand the true God. And when he gets ready to pour his wrath, right now his wrath is being reserved to be poured out. And it will be poured out upon the earth. Now, picture this. Notice what he's doing to men upon the earth. Now imagine what his wrath is going to be when they stand before him in judgment because they rejected his gift of his son and they tromped underneath their feet the blood of Jesus. Imagine how much wrath God's going to pour upon them. And somebody said, well, God won't be cruel to people. Look what he's doing here. He's doing it because he said he's going to do it. Now look at the next one, if you would, in verse number 8 and 9. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Now, you would think when all this was going on that people would be falling on their faces praying, asking God to help. Now here he's got heat, the sun. He's caused the sun to turn up a heat and begin to scorch people. And the Bible says that it began to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat and they blasphemed the name of God. In other words, they cursed God, they blasphemed him, and they did everything against God. And instead of repenting, they did just the opposite. They turned against God. But remember, they have taken the mark of the beast. They don't have the Holy Ghost of God dealing with them. They don't have the Spirit of God. Their conscience is seared. It's dead. They don't have their spirit. It's dead. So all they've got is their old flesh. And everything that the flesh has been and their soul has been tainted to such a degree that when all these things begin to come upon them. Now remember, again, imagine what the magnification of the sun would do to the seas and the oceans and all those things with the dead fish and dead animals. Imagine what that would be. Imagine what it would do as we begin to burn with heat the people who's left upon the earth. Imagine what that would be when they would be sunburned and it would begin to scorch people when they get out in the open sea or open the sun. And imagine what it would be like to have the pain. And yet, instead of falling on their faces and crying out to God to help them, they just decide the best route is to turn and curse God and criticize God and blaspheme God and take God's name in vain and use it. And you can kind of see the attitudes of the men during that time. Look at the next thing in verse number 10. The Bible says, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Again, when he pours this out, it's going to bring darkness and intense pain. And they're going to be in such pain that they just sit and they just gnaw on their tongues to try to relieve the pain. You ever have something hurt you so bad that you just, you want to bite something to try to relieve the pain of it? That's what's going to happen during this time. The Bible says that they're going to gnaw their tongues for pain. And notice verse number 11. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because their pains and their sores, and did what? Repented not of their deeds. Again, they're going to be in such pain. It's going to be the sun's going to come down and going to burn their bodies and going to scorch their bodies. The seas, the water, can't get a drop of water. And by the way, this is just a forepicture of what hell's going to be like. When you get down there and not be able to have a touch of water on your tongue and you're in intense flames. Remember the rich man? Even when he was in Hades, the Bible says that he in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. And he begged that Lazarus would come and just dip his finger in water and touch his tongue. and just any way to be able to get some type of relief. Imagine what it would be like when there is no water, nowhere, the intense heat. Then all of a sudden, God's going to send darkness upon all the earth and send something to create such pain that they begin to gnaw their tongues. They begin to want to gnaw whatever they can to relieve their pain. And yet they continue to blaspheme God, and they repent not. They're not sorry of anything that's taken place. And so it's amazing. Look, if you would, the next thing in verse number 12. And the Bible says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come up out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of Almighty God." Now notice what's happening here. The Bible says the Euphrates River is going to be dried up. And the reason why it's going to be dried up, and of course, you can imagine what would happen with the heat, it turning to blood, then the heat that would come, and all the things that would happen. You imagine how it evaporates. I mean, imagine just right now when we have no rain. Imagine how quick things happen here and things begin to dry up with just a short period of time when we're experiencing no rain. Imagine what it would be if the sun was intensified during that time and began to cook the earth. Imagine how the streams would dry up and the water would dry up and those things. And so the Bible says that there's a purpose behind this. The purpose is that it is beginning to prepare this great battle. We know the battle. The battle is called the Battle of Megiddo, or we call it the Battle of Armageddon. And it's a great last battle that will be fought during this tribulation period of time. Now, here the Bible says that the trinity of the devil, of the wickedness, of the devil himself, the devil, the false prophet, and the beast, will all be able to send out deceiving spirits upon the nations of the kings. And the kings will rise to battle. And why is the Euphrates River important? Because it will bring them and the lying spirits that they are deceived with, they will turn to come upon the nation of Israel, to demolish the nation of Israel. And so they will come down to take Israel in their hiding place as well. And so the Bible says that they will go out into the kings of the earth, to the whole world, to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. And so, again, remember that when you read and when we get into this battle, and we look at the battle later on, and we will before we finish up this study, the Bible says that this great battle, the horses there in this valley, and it's a wide valley, will flow. The blood will flow up to the horses' bits. I mean, imagine what that would be like when that takes place. And again, you've got to put it in perspective. The earth has experienced this great heat, darkness, all these pains, cankerous sores, all the things happen to the greenery, all the things happen to fresh water, all the things happen to the seas. I mean, picture in your mind what the world would be like here at this time. Then look on, if you would, and let's begin reading the rest of the chapter there. It says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." That's the Lord speaking. "And he gathered them together into a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, It is done." Now remember, this similitudes what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary for the church. When Christ came to the church, and he came to the world to die for the world, when he hung upon the cross of Calvary, when he had accomplished everything that God asked him to accomplish, the Bible says the last thing that he said, he bowed his head and he said, "It is finished." And so therefore, it was finished. And so he went, and the Bible says he went to the heart of the earth, spent 3 days and three nights, resurrected, and went up to be with the Father. Now we find that when all this has taken place and the last vial is poured out, that the Bible says that there's a voice that comes out of the temple of heaven, and it says, "It is done." In verse 18, "And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And this great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, and the plague thereof was exceedingly great." So again, when we finish this up of the last veil, the Bible describes, and it seems almost beyond imagination to imagine what's happening. The Bible says there would be a great earthquake, and that earthquake would be upon all the earth, such as was never an earthquake like it, that islands would disappear, mountains would be brought flat, and there would be cities that would be divided and demolished because of this great earthquakes. There would be thunders and lightnings and so forth. And the Bible also says that there would fall from heaven hail, being about the weight of a talent. That's between 125 pounds and 125 pounds. Imagine a hailstone, about 100 pounds, 125 pounds coming down, just raining upon the earth. Imagine how it would demolish. Any of you ever seen a hailstone about the size of a quarter fall? Man, they can do some damage. Even the size of a dime can do damage. And they can pepper your car and dent your car and do all those type of things and destroy things. And imagine what hailstones this big falling out of heaven would be like. Falling upon everything and just how demolishing it would be. And at the same time, the earth shaking, and God said, "Okay, it's finished. We're bringing this to a close." Now, so let me just end by saying this, and we're going to look at these three things. At the conclusion of all this, there's going to be, we see a lot of personalities that's introduced during this period of time. The Bible describes several personalities that we find. We find, of course, the Lamb of God, the most prominent one. Then we find the 144,000 that's mentioned that will be preaching the gospel. Then we also find the dragon and his angels fighting with Michael and his angels. Then we also find Israel, the woman, which brought forth the son, which was Jesus, and how the dragon sought to devour him and destroy him. Then we also saw the personality of the two witnesses. We haven't looked at those yet, that will come upon the earth during that time and be killed for the witness. Then we also saw the beast, the Antichrist, the one that people calls all different names throughout the Bible, the son prediction, the king of fierceness, and all those type of things, names that God gives him. Then we saw the false prophet that will set and build up his kingdom and support his kingdoms and promote that. And so all these things, and then we see the kings of the earth playing as puppets within his hand and doing his will. And they think that they're finding favor with this beast, but he will turn against them when we get to chapter 17 and 18 and Babylon is fallen. We will find how that they turn, even the Antichrist turns against the kings of the earth. But they will be gathered together, they will be deceived, and they will come together for this great battle. Then we have three things that would take place that we're going to look at in the next few weeks. One is, we're going to look at the Lord's return, what it's going to be like when he comes, and all this is setting the place for him to come, as the Bible has predicted over and over and over, as he promised Israel that he would reign upon the throne of David is fixing to take place. The kingdom is fixing to be at hand. All down through there as they preached, and it was put on hold for a while. Now the message has been preached for 7 years down through during the tribulation time, saying, prepare ye, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they better be getting ready, because the kingdom's fixing to come. Christ is fixing to come. He'll judge the nations when he comes. We'll look at that. And then he will enter into his kingdom. Now, when we get into the millennial kingdom, we'll probably spend several days in the millennial kingdom. There's a lot of things that takes place there, and we want to look at those things and dissect it. And so we'll get into that as well. Then also, we need to realize that there's a terrifying things going to happen to those who are lost. The dead that's waiting in hell right now will be kept there for the period of time when the reign takes place, the thousand-year reign. That's why in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says, talks about in verses 4 through 6, that the dead was not resurrected for 1,000 years. There was 1,000 years separated. And so they will be resurrected. And when they will be resurrected, they will be brought before the great white throne judgment, and they will be judged. It will be an agonizing time. But before that, when Christ comes back to the earth, they will, the people upon the earth who has taken the mark, that has sided with the beast, shall begin to fight in an army against the Lord. And it will be quickly put to a halt, because the Bible says he will destroy them, defeat them with the word, with the sword that proceeds out of his mouth. He will speak and they will be destroyed. There'll be no way they can be any match for him. And of course, he will go through the kingdom, and at the conclusion of the kingdom, then all the lost people will be brought to a head. They will be brought to a judgment. It's described in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, the great white throne judgment of God, being an agonizing time for those who are lost as sinners. Then, of course, during time, we're going to also look back and see during this tribulation time what has happened to the saints that was taken out and called away, those that we refer to as being raptured. We will look and see, probably start next week, and look and see what they've been doing up in heaven while all these things have been taking place on the earth. That's why I told you, if you're saved, you don't have to worry about the tribulation period. You don't have to worry about what's happening here upon the earth. You've got other fish to fry, and that's the fact that you'll be standing and giving account of your works to the Lord, and we'll look at that next week. So let's go ahead and be dismissed, and we'll pick this up next week. Heavenly Father, thank you for many blessings. Thank you for the day in which you've given us. We pray your blessings upon the day. Lord, help us as we get into study to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to see what you would have us to see in it. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.